Good morning. Today's daf in Ksuvas Chav Gimel and Chav Beis Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're starting this morning with the words Tana Rabbanan, three lines from the bottom of the Amud. Gemara is going to continue its discussion now regarding women and their ability to get married, considering the fact that there are contested testimony regarding her status. That has been the discussion, meaning we have yesterday operated with the general principle of Pesha Asar Pesha Heter, where information is coming from us, damning information is coming to us. And if it's coming to us from an outside source, then she's now has to explain what happened, what occurred. So then obviously in the face of witnesses, so she's not going to be believed. However, if she's the one providing the information, so if it's damning information, then HaPesha Aser, Hu HaPesha Hitter. So the mouth that creates Iser is the same mouth that can create Heter as well. So this is the basic yisod in terms of Ne'manus. So yesterday we learned it. Meaning yesterday was the principal daf and shas that discussed this idea of a pesha asar or a pesha hitter. In fact, in yesterday's daf, we actually went through the drasha. And then what the Gemara did, it was an interesting maneuver of the Gemara yesterday. I don't need a drasha. What do we have? We have a svara, meaning it's logical. If you're the one who is putting yourself in that position, you're the one who can also extricate yourself from that position as well. So in line of that discussion of a pesha asar or a pesha hitter, so the Gemara is now going to be discussing other scenarios in which there's going to be contested testimony about her and what can she do under those circumstances. So Tana Rabbanan, so immediately we're going to go right into the Gemara and let's begin. The Gemara starts off, Shnaim Omrim Niskacha. Shnaim Omrim Lo Niskacha. So two witnesses said that Kedushin occurred. Two witnesses said that Kedushin did not occur. So now that I have a 2v2 in terms of Kedushin, she is not to get married lechatchila. However, imnesis lo seitze. But b'di'evah, once she gets married, she can remain married. Okay, so that's one. And here comes number two. Shnayim amrim niskasha, shnayim amrim lo niskasha, lo sinase v'imnesis teitze. Now we have 2v2 regarding gerushin. That two said that she went through a gerushin, two said she did not go through a gerushin. And again, we're going to add what we've been adding a number of times already. The actual get itself is not here. Meaning, if there was a get here, so then there wouldn't be a discussion to be had. But anyway, two say gerushin occurred, two say gerushin did not occur. So, hareza lo sinase v'imnesis teitze. So here once again, lechatchila she should not get married, but here, imnesis teitze. But if she goes ahead and gets married, then Basin is going to come in and Basin is going to separate them and force them to get a divorce. Okay. And so now we have basically two cases side by side. In case number one, it's 2v2 on Kedushin. In case number two, it's 2v2 on Gerushin. In case number one, let's just focus on the Bidyevet. Lechatchila, in both cases, she shouldn't get married. Again. But in case number one, Bidyevet, she got married, that's okay. And in case number two, Bidyevet, she got married, it's not acceptable, and Basin's going to go ahead and break up that marriage. Maishna Reisha, Maishna Sefa. So the Gemara now wants to know, well, what's the difference? Obviously, the Braisa sees a difference between the cases, and the Gemara wants to know what's the difference. Okay. Now, the truth of the matter is that this, we're obviously going to go on in the Gemara, but just the Gemara's question over here is really hard to wrap our heads around. What's the difference between the cases? The difference is obvious. Meaning, in the case where the 2v2 are contesting whether or not she got a divorce, what does that mean? It means that she was married. She has a chazaka of being married. And therefore, what do you do when I have competing and contesting witnesses? Eidim hamachishim. So what do we normally do? Throw it out. And so what are we left with? Our chazaka. And what's her chazaka? She was married. In the first case, 2v2, whether or not kedushin occurred. So again, what do I do with the testimony? Throw it out. And what's her chazaka? She's a single woman. So the truth of the matter is that the cases really are different. And it's hard to understand. It's really difficult to understand the Gemara's question, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. Okay, but, and you have to say a pshat, and I know it's right, it's really just difficult. But we're going to go on in the Gemara, see Tosos, see the top Tosos over here for a couple of suggestions of why the Gemara didn't see a difference between the cases. But anyway, Amar Abaye Tirgam Abeirachat. So the Gemara is going to give two pshatim in the Braisa. Here we go, pshat number one. And this is Abaye's pshat. So Tirgama be'edachad, edachad amar niskasha, ve'edachad amar lo niskasha. So what we're going to do is the following adjustment, and then the Bryce is going to read a little bit better. And that is that instead of two Eidim, it's one Eid. In other words, it's not 2v2, it's 1v1. And now, in the case, in the first case of the Braisa, where now it's 1v1, and again, one witness says Kedushin occurred. One witness said Kedushin did not occur. Okay, so now, Tarvai b'Penui Kemisade. Common denominator, of course, is that we're talking about a girl who historically was not married. And then they are both saying she was never married. And of those two, one of them is saying that Kedushin occurred. Now, if one witness says that Kedushin occurred and that's all you got, you throw it out. Because one witness in Halacha does not have significance. Now, that's not totally true. Okay, but still, in this context, it's true. So one witness, when it comes to Ishish, when it comes to Arayos, so the only way that you could substantiate anything by Arayos is with two witnesses, not with one witness. Okay, and the truth of the matter is, even as we're saying this, it's still an incomplete answer, because the first part of the Braisa still needs more explanation. Meaning, if it's 1v1, and we're basically throwing out the testimony of the one who says that she's Mekudeshes, because it's only one, so then why go back to the Braisa? The Braisa taught us that lichatchila she could not get married. Well, why not? Meaning, if we're just throwing out the one testimony, so then of course she can get married, even on a lichatchila level. Okay, so, again, the Gemara over here, it's a choppy Gemara. It really does require more explanation. But we go back to the Gemara. So, and again, now with Abai's solution, his explanation, the second half works really well. Because in the second half, so it's 1v1, and what are they arguing about? Did she or did she not get divorced? Okay, fine. So you know what they're both saying? They're both saying that we're talking about a married woman. And now it's only a question of whether she got a divorce or not. And I only have one witness who said she got a divorce. And so now what do? I assume she didn't get a divorce. And therefore we go back to the fact that she's a married woman. And that's why she can't remarry. And that's why if she does get remarried, Tate's saying. Okay. So that is all solution number one of the Braisa. Here we go, solution number two. Rav Ashi Amar Lo Olam Treyu Trei Ve'Epach. Rav Ashi says that here's what we're going to do. We're going to go back. We're going to reread the Braisa. We're going to reinstate it's 2v2, meaning he dismisses Abai's suggestion that it's 1v1. It's 2v2, but what we're going to do with the Braisa is we're going to edit the Braisa, and that the Braisa is saying actually the opposite. And here's how it's going to read. Shnaim Omrim, he's now going and explaining the Braisa in his edited version of the Braisa. Shnaim Omrim Reinish in Iskash, Shnaim Omrim Lo Reinish in Iskash, Arei Zolosinasa, V'imlisei Teitzei. Oh. Two say Kedushin occurred, two say Kedushin did not occur. So now, here in this edited version, what if she gets remarried now? Teitzei. Married meaning to another man. So Teitzei, she has to leave this other man. Now why? So Pshita, Lo Re'ino and Araya. Because think about the two who are saying she got married. Okay, that's good. That's testimony. Two who say she did not get married. How do they know? Meaning for them to say that, right? I know we made this point yesterday, but here today, in today's daf, the Gemara is making this point. Meaning for them to say that something didn't occur, right? That's not testimony, right? Unless you're there all the time, 7:24, it's simply not testimony. Lo ra'inu, eino raya. We didn't see it, that's not proof. In other words, the absence of seeing something is not testimony to anything. Okay. So lo tzricha d'dayar b'chatzarecha. So the Gemara says, well, it's a tight-knit community. So and I might have thought that, look, if you live in such a tight-knit community, it's a closed community, so you would have heard about it, right? Right. That's at least an argument you can make. The Gemara says, good, that's an argument you can make. We dismiss that argument. In other words, people get married privately. Yeah, right, it happens. So the Seifa. Now, that was the first part of the Braisa, the edited version of the Braisa according to Rav Ashi. And now let's go to the second half of the Braisa. So Shnayim Omrim Reinish and Iskash, Shnayim Omrim Lo Reinish and Iskash, Rav Ezeh Lo Sinasa, V'im Mises Lo Teitza. Mai Kamash Malan Afagab Dedari B'chatzar Echad. So the Gemara says the same thing regarding Gerushin. Two say the divorce occurred, two say the divorce did not occur. So she is now, ideally she shouldn't get remarried, but if she does, she's good. Meaning the Avi'im Neiseis Lo Seitse. Because again, what are we saying regarding the witnesses who say the divorce never occurred? Again, how do you know the divorce never occurred? Just because you didn't see it? So the Gemara says, Hainuach. So the Gemara says, well, okay, great. So we just now have given a nupsha in the Braisa, but the truth of the matter is that we had to edit, Rav Ashi had to edit the Braisa, but now we set up pshat, and basically what comes out is that lo re'inu eino raya, not seeing something is not proof. So hainu hach, the Gemara says, okay, but why then does the Braisa have to repeat the same point twice? Because ma'u detema gabi kedushin hu David de'inshin de'mekashi betzina, aval gabi gevishin imisa de'irgersha kala islay lamilsa. New, so the Gemara says, I might have thought that, look, people get married privately, but who gets divorced privately? Now, I know that sounds funny. In other words, generally speaking, divorces are done quietly. Obviously, you need witnesses, you need a Beis Din, right? The requirement of a Beis Din by a divorce is never clearly stated in the Gemara. Just an interesting point, by the way, we've covered this before, but it's just interesting that the... in other words, if you go to any gerushin, right? I've told you before, right? Unfortunately, I go to a number of them. My neighbor is the head of the Beis Din here in our community. So and you know he needs participants. He needs Eidim. He needs Dayanim. Okay, so if I'm available, I'll be there. So anyway, the Gemara never says you need a Beis Din. That's okay, but it's done. Whatever. For our purposes right now, we don't have to discuss that. So anyway, so you need Edim, do you need Dayanim? The Gemara a number of times assumes that Gerushin is a public event. Like everybody knows about it. And nowadays it's done very privately, very modestly. It's whatever. Okay. Anyway. So I might have thought that by Kedushin people do it privately, but by Gerushin, well, that's done publicly. And there's no way that it happened and people didn't find out about it. So Kamashwan, David Inshu, Demakashi, but Sino. And the Chiddush then of the Braisa, why did the Braisa has to make the same point twice? Is to teach us this very point. That not only do people get married privately, people also get divorced privately. Again, private divorce still requires Edim and our practice a Beis Din. But still, in other words, it's done privately. In fact, right, just to support the Gemara's conclusion, nowadays it's very private. Right, there are no announcements that are made. In other words, it's generally speaking, it's done without any publicity. Again, I'm talking about in our circles. Anyway,
I would think that before Gerushin, they probably were quarreling, so people who live in the same sphere would hear that there's something wrong with that family.
Could be, but I think the Gemara is focusing more on the actual Gerushin event.
Itself.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so good. So this is what comes out from the Gemara. I'll add one interesting point. In other words, the Gemara says lo reino in araya, meaning it's a general principle that the absence of seeing something is proof for nothing. So where this becomes very contentious is by minhagim, right? It happens all the time. In other words, right? Is this a minhag? Well, I've never seen it done before. Oh, okay, let's ask the question again. Well, is that a minhag? Well, we never seen it done, and so by Minhagim, it's really open to not only a discussion but a real controversy in terms of, well, if it was never done before, does that establish a minhag? Lo reino neraya. I'll give you a simple example, right? Can a woman shecht an animal? Right. The from the Gemara itself, the impression, of course, is that yes, a woman can shecht. In other words, right? It's not whatever. Yes, the answer from the Gemara would be yes. Okay. Is there a minhag for women not to shecht? Well, we've never seen women shechting before, okay? So, and here, again, so the question now becomes the following. So, right, we've never seen them do it, so does that now, can that establish a minhag? So the Shulchan Aruch, of course, says no, meaning, you know why you've never seen a woman shecht? We all know the answer. They're not interested. They're just not interested. Okay, but can that establish a minhag? So the Shulchan Aruch says no. And the Ramah writes that women do not... The minhag is that women don't shecht, meaning it's not that they're not interested, which is true, but on top of that, there's a minhag that women don't shecht. Why? Because the Ramah says, lo re'inu by minhag can in fact serve as a raya. Okay, so anyway. Now, remember the structure of the Mishnah yesterday? Let's reset. The Mishnah brought in two examples of Pesha Asa, Pesha Iter. Example number one of the Mishnah is where the woman comes into the courtroom and she says, I was married, but I got divorced. In the second case of the Mishnah yesterday, so I was taken into captivity, but I wasn't violated. Okay. So those are two examples of Pesha Asar. And then the Mishnah at the end says, V'im mishenises ba'u'edim, ha'rezet lo seitze. Meaning once she's under the umbrella of a Pesha Asar Pesha Iter, even if subsequently witnesses come, after she's remarried, she's still protected. And in other words, that Pesha Asar Pesha Iter will continue to protect her even after witnesses come. Okay, that's the Mishnah that we saw yesterday. Now, what the Mishnah didn't tell us yesterday is that last line of the Mishnah is modifying the first case, the second case, or maybe both. What do you think is going to happen now? Okay. So, Rabbi Yoshia Masni La Reisha, Rabbi Bar Avin Masni La Seifa. Okay, so Machlokas Amoraim, whether or not the last clause of the Mishnah is going either on the first case or on the second case. Now, here we need to think a little bit. Manda Masni La Reisha, Koshakana Seifa, Dibishvuyi Hikilu. Now, if you're learning it on the Reisha Koshekena Seifa, if Pesha Asar Pesha Iter is going to protect you in the first case, it's certainly going to protect you in the second case. Why? Because consider, in the first case, she's saying she was married. That's an Isser Gamor. That's Ashes Ish. And now what Pesha Asar Pesha Iter is now doing is allowing her to marry another man. And then subsequently witnesses come and said she was married. So now we have outside sourcing that tells us that she was married. Is that going to remove the Pesha Asar Pesha Iter? So according to Rav Oshia, no, it's not. In other words, that Pesha Asar Pesha Iter is going to maintain even after witnesses come. Meaning assuming, of course, that she already got remarried. Okay. If you're learning it on the first case, then you have no problem applying it to the second case. Because what's the second case? The second case is I was taken into captivity. Is that a definitive issue to be held captive? No. It leads us to the concern that she was violated during captivity. Which, as we pointed out yesterday, but let's reiterate, which effectively means what? She's an anusa. She was violated. In other words, it would lead us to the iser of she can't marry a Kohen. So, okay. In other words, the ramifications are not as great as the Ashes. But anyway, but the point is that even her statement that I was taken into captivity, that in of itself does not create the iser. The iser is only now the concern that she was violated. Meaning there's a really good chance that she was violated, but it's not an absolute, it's not a known quantity. Not like in the first case where she says, I was married. That's a definitive iser. I was taken to captivity only leads us to suspicion that she's now asur to kahuna. Okay, and so if Pesha Asar Pesha Iter is protecting her in the first case, it's certainly going to protect her in the second case because the Gemara says the b'shvuyah hekilu. Later this morning, we're going to learn there are a couple of kulas as it relates to shvuyah. So, uman demasin la seifa aval reisha lo. But if you're learning it on the second, so then you won't say it on the first. Meaning, only in the second case can we afford her the protection of her Pesha Asar Pesha Iter. Only in the second case is it going to continue to protect her even after witnesses come. But in the first case, it won't. And again, the difference is, as we just stated, because in the first case, it's an Isser Gamor. In the second case, it's only a Suffolk Isser. Lema b'drav amnuna kemiflugi. The Gemara now is going to suggest that maybe what they're arguing about is the halach of Rav Hamnuna. So good, we did this yesterday. We're going to do it again today. Rav Hamnuna taught us the following. A woman will not face her husband and without a get and say, you divorced me, unless it actually happened. Why? Ain adam iza, right? Because people are not that brazen. And so therefore, if she's saying it directly to the face of her husband, so it means that it occurred. And demand demasin la reisha isle de Rav Hamnuna, man demasin la seifa leisle de Rav Hamnuna. And the Gemara now is suggesting that if you're learning the last clause in the Mishnah on the reisha, it's because you subscribe to Rav Hamnuna. meaning that the woman is going to be believed, and part of that credibility is due to the fact that she, if she were to say she was divorced directly to the face of her husband, even though there's no get, there are no witnesses that occurred, she's going to be believed. And that's why, if you're learning the last clause going on the reisha, it's because she has that credibility. And and if you're only ready to use the last clause of the Mishnah on the Seifa, it's because he does not subscribe to Rav Hamnuna. And a woman is not going to be believed. In other words, if she doesn't have documentation, she's not going to be believed to just simply look at the face of her husband and say, "You divorced me." So the Gemara says,
use the argument, the husband doesn't have to, he's not mazed to say to her, "You're not divorced," when she is divorced.
Well, just one second. Let's just finish up the flow. Lo de kuleyama,
and they don't care.
Lo de kuleyama isle de Rav Hamnuna. Now, the truth of the matter is that that everyone subscribes to Rav Hamnuna. What Rav Hamnuna is saying is an accepted halacha according to everybody. And over here. So then, what's the issue? Meaning, if you subscribe to Rav Hamnuna, so now let's reset. She comes into town. We don't know what's happening. She says, "I was married, but I got divorced." Okay, now, if you subscribe to Rav Hamnuna, so then she should be believed. Ain isha mi'iza. A woman's not going to be that brazen where she's just ready to say that I got divorced if it didn't happen. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you now how to understand the machlokas. Mar savakid ma de Rav Hamnuna befanav avashalob befanav mi'iza. Mar savashalob befanav nami ain mi'iza. Ah, very good. So the Gemara says that when it comes to this halach of Rav Hamnuna, it's just a question of how far we're ready to apply it. Meaning, the one who learns it on the reisha of our Mishnah is ready to apply it whether he's here or even if he's not here. Now, if you think about it, in other words, this is really a psychological question in terms of how brazen a person's going to be. Meaning, if your husband's standing right here and you look at him and say, "You divorced me." So again, we assume now, this is the halach of Rav Hamnuna, ain isha mi'iza. No one's going to be that brazen. Ah, okay, good. And everyone agrees to that. But let's say he's not here. And that, obviously, in this case, in our Mishnah, that's the case. He's not here. Meaning she just came into town. And now she's giving us her biography, her history. "I was married, and then I got divorced." Okay, now, is she going to be brazen enough to say it? Maybe. Because he's not here. Ah. And that is the machlokas between these Amorayim in terms of whether or not you're going to plug in her credibility, even not only in the case of Shuya, but even in the case of Eishes Ish, and she was divorced. Because now what they are deliberating is whether or not that chazakah, that no one's going to be that chutzpahdik, is that going to be also true even when he's not here right now? Okay. Okay, so again, what did we just learn together? That in the last clause of the Mishnah, she used HaPesha Aser Pesha Heter, given credibility now because she created the Isser, therefore she can create the Heter. And then she gets remarried. Subsequent to that, witnesses come and say, "Hey, that's a married woman." So now, is her Pesha Aser going to protect her? So in the case of Gerishin, Machlokas. In the case of Shvuya, for sure, it's going to continue to protect her. So Amar Avu Deshmol Lo Nises Nises Mamish Ella Kevin Shitirli Nasei Alpha Pishlo Nises Alpha Pishlo Nises. So Avu Deshmol says that it's gonna her Pesha Aser is going to protect her not only after she gets married but even when Beis Din says she can get married at that point in time she's good, meaning she now submitted her testimony about herself. Using the properties of a Pesha Aser Pesha Heter, once Beis Din says, now you can go ahead and get remarried, so at that point in time, even if Aden comes subsequent to that, she's still good. She's still going to be credible. Vaha lo teitzei ketani. That's very difficult to read in the Mishnah. The Mishnah makes it sound like it's only after she actually gets married. So the Gemara says, lo teitzei me'etar risha. So the Gemara says, no. What it means is that she's not... The way to read the Mishnah is that she is not to leave the heter that was given to her. Okay, challenging read of the Mishnah, but again, the Avu Deshmol had this Masorah. Tana Rabbanan, Amanish Beisi Tarani V'Yeshli Edim Shetarani Ein Omrim Namti Machi Avo Edim Ela Matir Nosa Miad. The Braisa starts off with, she says, Nishmeti Tarani. I was taken to captive, but I wasn't violated. She's believed, even if she says, look, I have witnesses that I wasn't violated. No, you're good. Again, this is a simple example of a pesha aser or pesha yitter. Hitiru l'nasav achar kach ba'oedim v'amar lo yadanu. So let's say they allowed her to remarry, and afterwards witnesses come, and they say, we don't know. Hare zelo seitzei. In other words, once again, she's good. Ha pesha aser or pesha yitter. Now, v'im ba'oedim toma afili yish lakam abanim teitzei. And then, let's say, she comes in, and again, she says, I was held captive. And I wasn't violated. So again, she's good. She gets remarried. Fine. Witnesses come. But here, unfortunately, the witnesses are reporting she was violated. Meaning, so now, it's true that she was extended this extra credibility. It's true that she has this the principle of a peshasa peshiter. But in other words, it can't fly in the face of two kosher witnesses who say that, no, she was in fact violated. And at that point in time, Beis Din has to step in, and Beis Din has to separate the two, her and her husband. Again, let's just be clear. I'm just reiterating. We're talking about where she married a Kohen. Meaning, if she married a Yisrael, that's fine. She's an Anusa. But an Anusa is not allowed to marry a Kohen. So we're talking only in a case where she married a Kohen.
We're not allowed to stay married.
Correct. Okay, so the Gemara tells us the following. Probably one of the more famous stories and a tragic story. So there were these captives that were held, and Asil and Narada, and they're being brought to Narada. And they're being brought to Narada, meaning they're going to get ransomed. And Osef Avu Deshmol Natura Ba'adayim. And Avu Deshmol says, okay, in other words, now that they're here in Narada, so now let's get a couple of really strong people, and service protection for these women so they don't get violated. So Amalei Shmuel Va'ada Inaman Natrahu. So Shmuel says to his father, I don't understand. Meaning, they already have been held in captivity for some time. Meaning, so the concern of them being violated is now in play. And what good is it now that we put up guards at this point in time? So Amalei Ilu Banteich Avyam Yehavez Mezalzabu Kulehai. So, the father of Shmuel was really offended by the comment that was made by his son. He said, if they were your daughters, would you say that? Meaning, this is not a halachic consideration. This is what's called a human consideration. In other words, this is just a simple question of, even if it's true that they were violated, we'd like them not to be violated anymore. Oh, okay. And the Marsha points out that Shmuel had the same sensitivity. He thought that his father was just doing this for halachic considerations and not just, you know, to protect them from being violent. Anyway, the father clearly misunderstood his son's suggestion, and the father was really upset, understandably. Meaning, right, the father's right. In other words, of course, if you can help them not being violated, I'm saying the most obvious thing I think I could say today, then obviously you do whatever you can in order to ensure that. So the Havikishkaga Shiyotze Milfnei HaShalit. Now, the father of Shmuel, when he was offended by Shmuel's comment, he said, if they were your daughters, right, would you say that? Uh-oh. Now, right, correct. And when you say something like that, so everything you say, I know this is scary, but the Gemara says it time and again, and it's something that we can just always improve on. Everything you say carries weight and meaning to it, and there's going to be a power in every word that comes out of your mouth. I get scared just saying it. But it's true. And the Gemara over here says that's exactly what happened. Once Avud Shmuel said it, if they were your daughters that are held in captivity, so now it actualized, it materialized. That's the expression the Gemara always uses to describe this phenomena of when, you know, it's obviously the father didn't mean to say it. It's kishkaga, but still, it came out. Vishabi and Bante Damar Shmuel, and Shmuel's daughters were taken into captivity. Number of times throughout Shas, we're going to hear about how Shmuel's daughters were taken into captivity. This is it. Today's daf is where we're actually seeing the incident inside. Vaskin Alar Disrael. Now, the daughters were held in captivity and they were brought to Eretz Yisrael, presumably to get ransomed. So now they're about to get released. And so here, these are the daughters of Shmuel. They know halacha. And they know halacha really well. Watch what they do. So Ukman Lushvoya Ma Avrai Aile Lebe Midrash of the Rabbi Chanina. So Ha'amrani Shmei Tatarani, Va'amrani Shmei Tatarani. And so now they say to the captors the following. Okay, you guys wait out here. Right? In other words, they're about to get ransomed anyway. So, but you guys wait out here. We're going to go into Beis Din because we just want to talk to Beis Din ourselves first. Captors like, okay, fine. They weren't worried about not getting paid. Okay. Anyway. Anyway, fine. So the... Maybe they already did get paid. Whatever, regardless. Okay. Sorry for getting caught up in the detail. So the so they go inside to the Beis Din and they declare that we were held captive, but we're Tahori. Each one of them says it about themselves. Ah. So you see what we see what they did? In other words, they exercised their Pesha Usar, Pesha Hitter ability, and now Beis Din said, now you can get married. Now they're under the protection. They're under the umbrella. Meaning even now, if it's substantiated afterwards, even if the captors come in afterwards, but nevertheless, there's a halachic principle. They knew it. They exercised it. Okay, good. Shar'inu sof ol asu shavua. So, and afterwards the captors came in. Amar Rabbi Chanina, benan demor yin'inu. And Rabbi Chanina's comment on the daughters is that, yeah, they're right, they're daughters of Talmid HaChachamim. No. In other words, they knew what to do. Igla Milsa Debante Demar Shmuel Havyan. Okay, and it was discovered that they were the daughters of Shmuel. So Amalei Rabbi Chanina, Rav Shem and Bar Abba, Poki Tapa B'Krovosech. So now Rabbi Chanina says to Rav Shem and Bar Abba, you know, you should marry them. Right, they're your relatives, you should marry them. Now, that's a funny sentence. They're your relatives, you should marry them. Obviously, not close relatives. You're not allowed to marry close relatives. So, in other words, I imagine over here, cousin, second cousin, something along those lines. But in other words, but take care of them, and in this case, take care of them meaning marry them, right? I guess one of them, not both. So the Amalei Rabbi Chanina va'ika idim b'mendina sayam. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there may be witnesses, meaning right. In other words, and let's assume that he's a Kohen. Otherwise, there's no problem whatsoever to marry these women. So he's a Kohen. He says, but it, couldn't it be now that there are witnesses who are going to tell us differently than what they're telling us? So the Mias, let's nu come on. Eidim b'tzad istan v'te'aser. Right? An old expression, which, of course, I never heard. But in other words, the Eidim are up in the north and you're going to prohibit? Meaning the Eidim are not here right now. Don't worry about Eidim that are not here. So time of the loss of Eidim, also Eidim mitzvah. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. You're only worried about Edom. The only reason when you're not concerned is because the Edom are not currently here. But that means to say that if Edom came, they're going to become us. If Amar Avu Deshmo came and she threw in us, Alpha Pishal and Nisays. Now wait 1 second. Avu Deshmo just taught us that once they use the Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter, so then that's it. Then they're under the umbrella. They're under the protection. They can now get married, even if subsequently Edom come, even if those Edom come before she gets married, they're still now credible once the Beis Din offers their psak. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. Even if the Edom do materialize, it shouldn't matter. So I'm Rav Ashi, Edom Toma Edmar. So Rav Ashi says, no. In other words, there's Edom and then there's Edom. Meaning if Edom just told us that they were held in captivity, well, that's what they said. And they're believed because of Peshas or Peshitter. Oh, but as we just learned a couple minutes earlier, but what if the Edom came and said that she was violated? Meaning, Rachmanus, unfortunately, we saw that she was violated. Okay, then we have to relitigate. Because the only reason why we think she wasn't violated is what she said. And yes, it's true she's believed, but not against the testimony of two witnesses who are actually testifying that she was violated.
Doesn't she have a grandchild that's an offspring of a... Is that being filed by one of the captors who
yeah.
Jewish?
Yeah, and again, so
what happened to that story? How does
so that's meaning it fits in with our story?
So they were not telling the truth. They're carrying it. They're pregnant by the captors.
Oh, in other words, I see what you're saying. In other words, we're assuming that the captors did have relations with her and impregnated her. Oh.
Because
I'm sorry,
I
misunderstood you. You're right. Okay. Question heard? I offhand, I don't know. Okay. Next Mishnah. Okay. We find ourselves now on Chav Gimel Midbeis, and we start now a Mishnah. Shtei Nashim Shenishbu. So we have two women who are taken into captivity. Zosamaris Nishbeta V'Tarani, Vizosamaris Nishbeta V'Tarani, Einu Ne'amenes. So each one of them declaring that they were taken into captivity and they were not violated, they're not going to be believed. Now, hopefully at this point in time, you are curious. Isn't that go against everything we just said? Right? Doesn't that run counter to everything we just said? Right? We'd love it if there was a consistency in the Gemara, and of course there is. And sometimes it's just harder to unearth, but in other words, what's happening over here? So Rashi points out, in other words, is an obvious point that you have to say, is that this information is not just coming to us via her, meaning the Beis Din knew this information already. Otherwise stated, Edim already came. In fact, Tosfos, what he does is, Zosomeris, he takes out the word Nishbeti, meaning because we knew that already. Well, the only thing they're trying now to defend is that they were not violated. And again, that we already know. The Mishnah is now reviewing that if the only thing she's saying is that I wasn't violated, but we already knew that she was taken into captivity, so now the concern, of course, is that she was violated. Now, they can't testify about themselves, but they can testify about the other. Okay, now, we heard this morning once, but now we'll get to hear it again and really process it, which is that the hikilu b'shvuya. The rabbis were lenient as it relates to a shvuya. Again, a woman's held captive. Okay, this is a real rachmanis, and you know, where Hashem should spare us from any of these kinds of scenarios. A woman was held captive, and so obviously now she's at the mercy of her captor, and her captor can and probably is going to have his way with her. But we don't know that, meaning we don't know that that happened. It's just a very strong suspicion that in fact occurred. Again, let's go over. If it did occur, she's an anusa. She can marry more or less anybody, except for Cohen. So in other words, if you have a woman who was held captive, so she's going to be prohibited to Kohanim because of the concern that she was violated. So it's a concern. So as a result of that, the Chachamim were mekel. What is a kula? We're learning a kula right now. And that is that we don't need two kosher witnesses to say that she wasn't violated. Meaning, let's go over the spectrum. She herself cannot say that she wasn't violated. Obviously, she's no gay bedover. Now again, just to go back over what we learned now, it's both today and yesterday, if she's informing us that she was held captive, so then, ha-pesh asar ha-pesh iter. But if we already knew that she was held captive, and now she is saying, Nishbeti utahora ani. So, if she just says tahora ani, so she's not going to be believed. However, witnesses come and say that she was actually violated, then there's nothing to talk about. She was violated. But if witnesses say that she wasn't violated, now I know, by the way, this is tricky. I know it's tricky because those witnesses need to have been there the entire time. Meaning, I know this is a tough question. How do they know? In other words, that 7:24 she wasn't violated. Okay, it's hard. Now,
can the captive themselves be?
So one captive can be an aid on another. So now one of the women can go and testify about another woman that she wasn't violated. Now here, it's a little bit better in terms of how does she know? Because she was also being held captive. And now a kula, we're learning a kula together. In other words, it doesn't have to be two, it could be one. Moreover, it doesn't have to be a man, it could be a woman. And it's very similar to a decision that we learned at the end of Yevamos, meaning that in order to prevent a woman from being an aguna, so therefore we're going to believe one witness, and it doesn't have to be a kosher witness. Over here, it's similar, but it's not the same. Over here, to testify regarding the chastity of a woman in that she wasn't violated in captivity. So what the Chachamim allowed is for one witness, even a non-kosher witness, to go ahead and testify that she wasn't violated. Okay. In other words, what they did is that they told the captors wait outside. So now it's Pesha Asa, Pesha Hitter. Correct. You totally got the... Right, that was the legalities of the issue over there. In other words, but once they present themselves in Beis Din by themselves, Peshas or Peshit, so, and therefore they're going to be believed even about themselves. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Ani Tmei V'Chavertai Tahora Nemenes. Okay, in the Brace over here, we're going to go over four cases. Yeah, okay. So, Ani Tmei V'Chavertai Tahora. So, I'm Tmei, my friend is Tahora. So, she is going to be believed. Ani Tahora V'Chavertai Tmei Eina Nemenes. I'm Tahora, my friend is Tmei, so she's not going to be believed. Ani V'Chavertai Tmei Nemenes Alatzma V'Eina Nemenes Alchaverta. If she says that the two of us are Tmei, so she's believed regarding herself but not regarding her friend. And Aniva Chaverte Tahora, Nemes al Chaverte Vena Nemes al Tzma. And if she says that the two of us are Tahora, she is going to be believed on her friend but not on herself. Okay. So basically, there are four cases over here in the Braisa, and basically we're going over every permutation of what she could say. The Gemara now is going to attempt and successfully analyze the Braisa. Just, it's going to be a little bit tricky. So Amar Mar Ani Tahora V'Chaverti Tmei'a. So in case number one, sorry, in case number two, there are four cases in total. In case number two, she says, I'm Tahora, and my friend is Tmei'a. So Eina Nemes, she's not going to be believed. Techidami Idaleka Eidim Alatzma. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If there are no witnesses regarding herself, Amai Lo Mehemne. So why isn't she going to be believed? So Nishbeta Tahora Nikamra, because she's the one providing us now all the information. Hapesha Asar, she should be believed. Elabshita Dika Eidim. So obviously now in case number two, there are witnesses. Gemara says, good. Go on to the next case. Ema Mitziasa. This is now going to be case number three of the Braisa. Ani v'chavertei Tmei, we're both Tmei. So Nemenes alatzma v'inu Nemes alchaverta. She's believed about herself, but not about her friend. Idika Eidim amai lo mehemna. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. If it's corroborated by witnesses, so then of course they're going to be believed. In other words, the witnesses are saying the same thing. So Alapshita Leika Eidim. That case is clearly talking about where there are no witnesses. So Ema Seifa. So Gemara says, okay, now move on to case number four. Ani v'chavertai Tahora. We're both Tahora, she says. So Nemes al-chavertai v'ena Nemes al-atzma. She's believed about her friend, but she's not believed about herself. Now v'ida leka edim atzma amai la mehemna. Now, if there are no witnesses, so why isn't she believed regarding herself? Alapshita di ika edim. Obviously, there has to be witnesses over there, because if there are no witnesses, she's going to be believed about herself using the mechanism of hapesh asar. So, Reisha v'seifa dika edim mitziyasa deleika edim. And so, what happened over here? Confusion. Just confusion. Because in case number two, there has to be edim. In case number three, there has to not be edim. And in case number four, there has to be edim. And so, it's very strange that the Bryce is giving us four different cases, but contextually, the four cases are not the same. So, Amar Abaye in Reisha v'seifa dika edim mitziyasa deleika edim. So, Abaye will tell you, yeah, that's right. And what we're going to have to do is just simply navigate. Meaning that, yes, when we read the Braisa, we got to slow down, read the Braisa carefully, and we're going to have to figure out which case in the Braisa, by definition, there must be Eidim, and which case in the Braisa, by definition, there are no Eidim. Okay. And I know it's choppy, Abaye would tell you, but that's obviously, in other words, the Braisa is expecting us to do some of the work. Okay, fine. That's one way to interpret the Braisa. And Rapapa Amakula Dika Eidim V'Ika Eid Echa Deka Epoch. And Rav Papa is going to give a different interpretation in the Braisa, and quite frankly, it's going to be a little bit complicated. But, in other words, he would like all the cases to be consistent, and so therefore, in all the cases, Rav Papa will tell you that there are Edom, that they were held in captivity, but there's also another Ed as well, who's saying the opposite. Okay, and I know this is going to be tricky. So v'ika edecha dekaapich amra ani tamei v'chaver t'tahora. So now let's go back and let's review. When she says she's tamei and her friend is tahora, v'amra la edechad at tahor v'chaver t'ach tamei. And again, by the way, in all these cases, there are witnesses that told us that they were both held in captivity. So one aid now is running counter to her what she's saying. So isha v'isalash lanafsha chaticha diisura. So now, As far as she herself is concerned, so look, one aid is enough testimony about any other person by Shvuya, right? That's the Kula by Shvuya. But because she said regarding herself that she's Tmei'a, So, shavya nafshecha ticha disura. And even though one aid is saying she's not tamea, but rather she's tahara, but again, but because she herself is saying about herself that she's tamea, okay, shavya. Shavya nafshe. So, I shavya nafshecha ticha disura. Chaver to mishtari apu madida. And her friend is going to be permitted. Why? Because she said that her friend is tahara. And again, but when it comes to shvuya, one aid is going to be believed. Anitar v'chaver to tamea. Now let's move on to the next case. I'm tahora, and my friend is tamea. V'amr la'eid echad, at tamea v'chaver tach tahora. And an aid comes and says, no, just the opposite. Now, ihi kevin de'ika eidem lavko kamina. Now, as far as she's concerned, look, there are eidem that said that she was taken to captivity, and now there's nothing that she could say that can change her status. V'chaver to mishtaya puma de'eid. And as far as a friend is concerned, well, since somebody reported that her friend is in fact tahara, she'll be fine. So aniva chaverta tamea. Now we're up to case number three, where she says, me and my friend were both violated. And again, one witness is saying, no, you and your friend are actually tahara. Now, as far as she herself is concerned, again, shavya nafshe. As far as her friend is concerned, one witness says that her friend was not violated. That's all you need. Hasu lamali hainu reisha. So the Gemara says, okay, but really the truth of the matter is that even in Rapapa's explanation of the Braisa, the case number three is teaching us the same point as case number one. So now three becomes a redundancy. So the Gemara says, no, ma'u detenu hainu tavari taros ninu v'ay dekam rahachi tamus nafshi implishtim hi dekavda. So the Gemara says, no, because I might have thought that, look, in order to enhance her credibility, she's going to say something damning about herself, not because it's true, but she really wants to hurt the other. I'm going to be honest. That's really difficult. In other words, we in Yevamos, we said that regarding women who have a natural animosity to one another. Over here, we're just talking about two captives. I don't fully understand why it is that we're even entertaining the idea that she really wants to hurt the other. Okay. So you can't incriminate yourself, but you can create an isser for yourself. Okay, we're both right, meaning you're 100% right. A person cannot incriminate himself, but if they want to create an isser for themselves, they may do so. It's called a neder, and a person has the ability to do
by
so.
Testifying in court that she's actually making a neder that she's usher to make.
So right. Correct. But your point is very well taken. In other words, in the neder, we're also kind of accepting the fact that she's incriminating herself. But again, incrimination over here, she didn't do a crime. She was just violated.
Right, but by admitting it, she's...
Yeah, your point's still taken. So, Kamash Malan. Aniva chavertei tahara. And now, finally, we're up to number four. And in number four, she says that she and her friend are tahara. Va'amar la idechat at v'chavertach temeya. And again, the one aid. Again, the backdrop to everything is that we already know that they were taken captivity. Witnesses already told us they were taken captivity. And again, in case number four, so her declaration is that he v'chaverta tahora, that we're both tahora. And the aid comes and says, no, you're both tamea. I kevin de'ika aidem lavko kamine. So now, she doesn't have a pesha asar, so therefore she cannot change her own status. Now, so, but her friend now is going to be permitted because she's saying that her friend is tahara. I know that another aid is saying not the case, but again, he kilu rabbanim b'shvuya, and therefore, as long as one aid is saying about somebody else that the other person's tahara, fine, they're tahara. So hasu lamali hainu reisha deresha. So the Gemara says now, even in Rav Papa's explanation, case number four is teaching us the same point as case number one. So four becomes a redundancy. So ma de temaki mehemna ba makam de pasa nafsha, va ba makam de machshar nafsha, ema lo mehemna kamash malan. Again, a havamina would have been that here, really, her credibility should be reduced because in her declaration, she's trying to say, hey, I'm good. And also my friend is good as well. So because she's trying to be machshar herself, maybe the havamina, maybe it should reduce her credibility by just a little bit, a smidge, and that's the point on number four. No, in other words, whatever she says regarding herself, just dismissed. now what she says regarding her friend that we're ready to accept. Okay, ad kan. It takes us to an end. Honestly, my advice, go over the four scenarios, go over a Papa suggestion, right? It took me a number of run-throughs in order to really understand it well, and quite frankly, I did it too quickly to say it out really clearly. But please go through it again. Okay, I kind of think we finished the daf today. Let's quickly recap. We started off our morning with a 2v2 regarding a woman. Witnesses say that she was divorced. Witnesses say she wasn't divorced. Witnesses say she was mekadeshes. Witnesses says that she's not mekadeshes. And in the Bryce that tells us that there's a difference between the cases, the Gemara says, what's the difference between the cases? The Gemara gave two explanations on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph in terms of how to understand the Braisa. Then the last point of the Mishnah, which is that when she comes into the courtroom and she says that when she comes into the courtroom and says that, right, I was married and got divorced. Alternatively, I was taken captive, but I wasn't violated. So, in both those cases, if she's the one producing this information, she's introducing us to this information, a peshas or peshiter, and then she gets remarried. And then the last clause of the Mishnah, if witnesses come subsequent, doesn't matter. In other words, she's believed, she's continued to be believed, but only after she gets married. So, first issue that we discussed on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph is that clause is going on case number one, case number two, machlokas amarayim. And then, if it's going on case number one, it's for sure going to apply to case number two. But if you're only saying case number two, it doesn't apply to case number one. Okay. And then the other thing that we discussed on Amud Aleph is the halach of avu d'shmuel, which is that her ability to remain married is even before she gets married. As long as Beis Din says, we hear you and you're good, at that point in time, she's under the umbrella of hapesh asar pesh yeter. And then, unfortunately, on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, we hear the tragic story of the daughters of Shmuel, who were taken to captivity, and the Gemara attributes it to a statement that was made by Shmuel, which sounded insensitive. And so, as a result of that, so his daughters were taken into captivity, and when they were ransomed and they were redeemed, so they asked the captors, "Let us go into Beis Din. Let us introduce the information that we're taken into captivity." In other words, they knew the halacha of Pesha Asa Pesha Yitra. They were the daughters of Shmuel. They knew the halacha. Okay, and it worked. On Chav Gimel Amud Beis, so basically, right, I'll say it nice and simple, right, without getting lost in the details, there are a lot of details, but by Shvuya, he kilu chachamim. There's a leniency by Shvuya. In that, even if you're not the one introducing the information, even if Beis Din already knows that you were taken in captivity, so the concern now is that you were violated. If some one person outside of yourself says you were not violated, they're going to be believed. Again, we don't know that they were violated. There is a strong concern that there is. To mitigate that concern, all you need is one other person to say she was not violated, and that person doesn't have to be a kosher aid. The person could be a witness. That's a kula as it relates to Shvuya. I'll just leave it at that because that's a good takeaway point from the Amud Beis.